Can you hear? There we go. Some of the Mac cannot hear. Okay, good. A little bit better. Right. Okay. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your grace given to us. We pray that you will teach us how to love you, love your word, and then to attempt to read it with understanding. We pray that you will bring a word of understanding and enlightenment to our hearts and help us to understand the significance of your word, of the laws, of the statutes of God. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we take a look at the text over here, right? Let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 12. But as we look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, please bear in mind that the earlier chapters must not be forgotten. Right? And the first few chapters are recalled, right? Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, the past 40 years, leading to the defeats of two major kings, Sihon and Og. Then came the preparation, get ready for going into the land. The laws are given, right? And so these things were there. You've got to bear in mind the significance of the relationship of each of the chapters. Because if we miss them out, we will not get the full benefits of these things here. Right? So if you take a look at the notes, point number one, the first reference is that of the Ten Commandments. Right? So the Ten Commandments are there in chapter 20, the book of Exodus, and then Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 to 21. Right? Now, then later on, when we come to chapter 12, right? We look at chapter 12, we have these words, "These are the statutes and judgments which you shall be careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God and fathers is giving you to possess." Now, what is the relationship between, say, the Ten Commandments and then the laws and the statutes and the judgments? That's what we need to look at. Okay? The challenge is to know how they are linked and why they are linked. Okay, so this is important for us to understand. And this is let's look at Deuteronomy 5 and then verse 22, for example. Right? So we read, and then we see this phrase, "And he added no more." Everybody would say, "Hooray, well, Ten Commandments, enough." Then after he said, "No more," then we got statutes and judgments. Isn't that more? It's just like try to understand Paul's use the word "finally." So he's finally, we begin in chapter 3, three more chapters to go. And then later on you say, "Finally," again. So we have to understand this idea of what he meant when he said he added no more. Okay? All the statutes and the judgments are not added through the 10. So 10, 10A, 10B, 10C, 10D. No, that's not how it works. Okay? So there isn't anything more than the Ten Commandments. In fact, all the other commandments, if you take a look at them, the Ten Commandments actually are to be found in all of them. They are explanations, extensions, ramifications, and everything else. But it's not additional. Okay, this is the 11th commandment. Okay, so this is an interesting thing here to take note of. Right? Any questions you want to raise up on this matter here right now? Okay. So when we look at chapter 12, verse 1, okay, the statutes and the commandments or the judgments. But so they are not the laws of the Ten Commandments, but they are an application, ramification, explanations, whatever things that may arise from. But the ten were all that God gave. Okay? If God were to add all the commandments, it'd still be at Mount Sinai right now. I mean, so that's not the point. Right? So this is important. If we cannot remember the first ten, don't worry about the last hundred. There's no way we can remember Bible verses like that. So this is very important. God is a great teacher. Question is, how are they understood? Okay? So we must know what the first ten are. In fact, the only ten. The perfect ten. That's it. Right? So the first four relate to God. No other God. No graven image. His name, don't take it lightly, don't take it in vain. Set aside time, worship, that's it. Right? The rest of them, from 6 to the 10th, very obvious. Father, mother, relationship with other people, don't covet other people's things, and so on and so forth. Right? Now, there are two Hagars. The first Hagar is the concubine of Abraham, when Egyptian lady. The other Hagar is a cartoon figure. I don't know whether you're familiar with Hagar. Hagar is a Viking. You're obviously not familiar. He is one of my favorites. He has such a funny idea of what Vikings do. He is a vandal. He terrorizes France. He goes to England. He sacks them. He comes back to the thing here. He is swarthy. He is dirty. He is uncouth. He is loud. He is everything else. Okay? So he has got lots and lots of funny things. And he has got a friend who's called Lucky Eddie. Anything but lucky. Right? He has a wife twice as big as he is. And so this whole story, a whole series, obviously you're not familiar with Hagar. You should maybe Christmas time, go to the bookshop and see whether you can get a copy of Hagar. It's really, really interesting. It's just a little cartoon, one-page thing, one-page. So put them together. In some comics in the UK, it's serialized, just like Peanuts. Right? So they put them into a book, and so it's just a few columns, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 columns, one page. And he has got a lot of these things here. So one day, he and Lucky Eddie went for lunch somewhere. And they look at the menu. And he says, Dieter's Delight. Dieter's Delight. So he asked, what is that? He said, you see, it is sandwiches filled with everything good and then soaked in butter. So they ask, how is it a dieter's delight? These all dieters long to eat this. See, you don't understand Hagar. Hagar's humor is very, very dark a lot of times. Nothing is straightforward. And so Lucky Andy one day asked him, what is Lord? You know, he's the real dummy. What are birds and bees? What does that mean? So he said, birds and bees. One, you get stung, and two, you get hand back. Okay, you obviously don't know that. You see, the funny thing about this man is that he has got these little dictums, these little statements, these little laws about life, which are put into cartoon form. And if you feel upset, depressed, sad, you know, it just, you laugh. Even though it's some people just don't laugh. I don't know why, but you know, it's just kind of sad. So when you take a look at all these funny dictums that he comes up with, and then you look at what God says in His Word, you really appreciate, you know, the wisdom, the profundity, the depth, the application, the reality of all that God has said. Because everything He says is actually almost worthless. I mean, if you want to look at it, I mean, all the things He said, it's because of His life situation. That's it. You know, He is absolutely hand-packed. And his comments about life over in the UK, you know, or in Europe, basically. Well, if you're not a European person, a fan, so you get very hard to appreciate it. These are the days of the Vikings. You heard of the Vikings, right? enough. I won't mention Hagar anymore, but if you, maybe, Peanuts is sort of standard American life kind of a thing here. This one is not. Okay? There is another cartoon book called BC. Even worse, this is Neanderthal days. Invention of the wheel. Actually written by a Christian. There is one series called, Gospel According to BC. So sometimes he would just carve out biblical terms on stone. We're not familiar with it. You know. What do you read? All right, never mind. 8 days a week. I never read this stuff. But think about these things here. So when you read the Word of God and you balance, what is it all about? You begin to realize the difference between God's laws and men's views, men's dictums, men's ideas, men's commandments, men's observations of life, quite different. Anyway, let's go back to it. I just read a few pages. I thought it was funny. No, I read them from time to time after a few years and then read them again. But it's still funny. Anyway. Okay? If it doesn't grab you, don't buy it. Okay? This is something. Here we go. Now, what are statutes and judgments essentially? Okay? Well, let's take a look at the book of Exodus chapter 18. And then you take a look at this idea and, and we'll see this. 18 and verse 22, for example. Okay? This was Jethro's advice, his father-in-law. Father-in-law was quite a wise man. So he saw Moses the whole day through. In verse 13, it was on the next day, Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. Okay, you just said, what's your number? And the number, wow, 200. It's just like, you know, Elaine will understand this because she's at a clinic. What's your number? 575. Oh my. So you wait for 5 hours and then see her 5 minutes, I can tell you, you are not going to be a happy patient. Well, this is Moses. Morning till evening. What can you do? And there's nothing else anyway. There were no magazines to read. Right? No Hagar. No Peanuts. Nothing. No Reader's Digest. No Straits Times. Nothing there. So what do? In the hot sun, waiting for your turn. Well, they waited, and they waited for morning. So Moses' father saw all that he did. And then, what is this you're doing for the people? Why you sit alone? The people stand before you from morning until evening. Right? Well, that, so Moses said, well, because the people come to me to inquire of God when they have a difficulty, then I judge between one another. I make known the statutes of God and his laws. That was his role. Right? So the father-in-law said, what you do is not good. No, not, not his advice is not good. The practice is not good. Here's, okay, both you and the people who are with you will wear yourself out. First, you will wear out. Your people will wear out. It is too much for you. Absolutely right. You cannot do this by yourself. I have 200 emails. Would you like to help answer them? Yeah, that's exactly how Moses felt. I understand. I wish there's a Jethro around. How to jet your way through? Jet through, right? So how do you get your jet through? Oh, man. So he said to him, I will listen. I will give you counsel. God be with you. By all means, stand before God and for the people, okay? So that you may bring the difficulties to God. Please, go ahead. Teach them, yes. Show them the way they must walk. Okay, go ahead. This is basic. You must teach them, right? The law, basic. All right, now let's go on further. Moreover, you shall select them from all the people, able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and you make them rulers over thousands, hundreds, fifties, tens. Let them judge the people at all times. Okay? Class action, 1,000 people. Okay, go to these people. Then hundreds, and then fifties, and then tens. Just like emergency room, A&E. You know, you realize A&E, a lot of people. Actually, it's not. There's one, there's no accident. Two, it's not emergency. The little boy has a sniffle. And the mother says, I must get a, take a queue number. Why? He really cannot understand. Yeah, bit of a cold, cannot breathe. So wait, your number. And so many babies there, all the same. Some a little bit a little bit of plaster there. Okay. No, I mean, maybe it's an accident. But certainly not emergency. And then the really urgent ones, you wait. That is always a real challenge. And doctors don't know what to do. Because everybody, I waited my turn. So hundreds of morning to night, wait, A&E. So what do you do? Same problem. Moses' time, today, the same. They turn on it, waiting hours, three. I remember I needed my ward, my sister, at the Tan Tock Seng once. I saw her clock down there, my heart sank. 7 hours. They couldn't even find a place. He says, can we put you on a bed here? We're outside here. So what do I do in the meantime? He says, whatever you please. So I watched all the people who were there. Huh? There was a young man, was a bit drunk. His girlfriend was there, waiting to see what will happen. And then, of course, all his friends, all there. 5, 6 of them. But what do you do with them? They better don't disturb them. Tattoos all over the place. What do we do? Is that it? Another incident, I saw one person at Mount E worse. Because this person had a cut. And he was shouting, I want to see a doctor, yelling at the top of his voice. A nurse came and said, get out from me. Get away from me. I want to see the doctor. Where's the A&E doctor? Lunchtime. I want to see somebody. Lunchtime. So the matron came up. So I just watched from upstairs, second floor, and I would see what's happening. So the matron came along, an elderly lady, very matron. That's why she's matron. So she went on there and sat down there. Excuse me, sir. Well, can I listen? Doctor is coming. I just come and help look at you. Can I just take a look at you? Very gently calm him down, and I watch him. Just a tiny little cut. And he says, let me help you. Doctor is coming. Don't worry. You know, we'll get you to it. Don't worry. Say all the nice things. He's probably some big shot somewhere who doesn't know how to make his own coffee. Everything done for him. And then he took a swab. Let me just clean up so the doctor will nicely will talk to you, clean up, don't worry. And he was like a lamb, you know, just a little bit. Look at it. He can go home and drive home in his fat Mercedes somewhere. But no, I need it. See, there are people who are like that, unfortunately. So Moses has to be there. You have to have senior people there who can look after 1,000, hundreds, fifties, and tens. You know, write down the order. And then Moses, let me give you advice, okay? Every great matter they shall bring to you. Every small matter, please let them judge. It will be easier for you. They will bear the burden with you. Okay? If you do this, you will be able to endure. And these people will go to their place in peace. Otherwise, they will go in pieces. I mean, it's very obvious. So sometimes people ask me, Pastor, what does Matthew 6 say? So I say, you don't mind? You please check the book that I wrote. Check the website. It's all there. After you have read, then you come and ask me, okay? Oh. What's that? Why do you think I spent so many hours writing the books for? Then you ask me the same question. I won't say silly question. It's just that you didn't read. I wish you, oh, actually, I no need to ask you. Yes. Please, go ahead. You see the over here? Now, there are matters which are not exactly covered. Right? So Moses has to, okay, can you take this one? Small matter. Well, looking at, usually people who looked after by tents, usually small matter. What time Moses say must be tomorrow? Oh, yeah, okay. I forgot that. Yeah, okay, thank you. No need, Queen. No need to ask Moses. What time? I think we all know that. Sometimes we have such crazy questions. Obviously. So let's try not to ask those kind of questions. But there are grave questions. Of course, they are important ones. Well, okay? Now, this is important. So then, as you have on, then you add on, okay, the judgment and the statutes. Okay, stop. All right. Well, let's take a look at the other things. Something a bit... Okay. All right. So this is where the teaching must go on. All right. This is now. It's your. Otherwise, read the Deuteronomy. You're all going to sleep worse. All right. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Okay. Of course, in time to come, the priests would be taught. The leaders would be there. The parents will be there. Everybody else. Okay. All right, so Deuteronomy 6. Now, this is very... Let's go to Deuteronomy 6. I need to get some tissue paper. Excuse me. All right. I better switch office.
Too much hang up.
Okay, here we go. But let's look at Deuteronomy 6. And this is something that all who are parents in Bethany must understand. Please don't pass your children to me. Every time, don't know, ask Pastor. Okay, read Deuteronomy 6 and you will understand this very, very clearly. 20 to 25. When your son asks you in time to come, don't say, "See your pastor." What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, "You parents." All the time, I am cited. You don't eat your cereals, I call Pastor. So the children end up scared of me. Because, and so there are times when the parents of me, why? Too scared? Because whatever it is, don't tell Pastor. I still remember one day I was calling one young person. And so the mother answered and said, "Pastor is calling for you." So she ran to her room. "Pastor is calling for you." Then she came back dressed. "Pastor can't see you." Because she not dressed properly. So I was going to speak to her. She had to go to her room, get dressed up before she answers the phone. So he said, "I told you, Pastor can't." I heard the mother though. "Pastor can't see you." Please, parents, teach your children. Absolutely important. We will follow up on other things. Right? So this is something that we want to really try and do. A little bit off, and I think that is something we want to take a look at. Okay, so parents, now absolutely important, the parents' role must be understood. You shall say to your son, okay, children, this is so important in ministry. The Lord commanded us to observe the statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. Parents are supposed to know the word of God too. Right? So every time we come to Sunday school, we watch and we notice children don't know the Lord's word. They should have known better, but no, the parents don't know. They can't, they don't help to prepare. Leave it to the Sunday school teachers. Leave it to the Sunday school. We're missing the point. The teaching of the Word of God is not the full main primary responsibility of parents to children. That is Deuteronomy 6. Hard, hard questions. Yes, when we look at the difficult periods, difficult, profound questions. Right? YMG. The Lord came from Timan. Parents don't know what that is. He came from Mount Paran. What's that? Okay, I understand. You don't know. I can come in to explain. But all the basics, we must be able to know. Now, I hope we will understand this whole idea of the teaching of the statutes and the commandments. Let's flip the page and look at these things here. Okay? Now, we take a look at all these basics. Now we jump into chapter 12. Now, we've been looking at the giving of the law, right? In chapter 10, chapter 11, and now we are looking at chapter 12, why we need to do this. And it's very obvious. These are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord you shall observe, careful to observe in the land which the Lord your God of your fathers is giving you to possess. Now, if you take a look at these lessons, you watch this. What happens if you don't obey? See, sometimes you can't see this until you see the reality of it playing out hundreds of years later. And we'll see this very, very shortly in 2 Kings 17 later on. Okay? Watch. Okay? You will destroy all the places which the nations you shall dispossess serve their gods. High mountains, hills, every green tree, destroy their altars, sacred pillars, wooden images, and so on and so forth. You shall not worship the Lord your God with these things. Right? You shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. This is not going to be known till years later in the days of King David. First, it was Shiloh in the days before Samuel. Then subsequently, it was lost and it went to Jerusalem. In a place where God shall choose. That was later on. But don't do any of these things here. Okay, you shall take your burnt offerings, sacrifices, your tithe, and everything else. And there you will do this. Right? So this is important. You shall not do as you are doing today. Every man doing whatever right in his own eyes. This phrase will become a common phrase in the days of the judges. But it occurred first time here. The warning. And later on, you read the book of Judges. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Whatever you think is right, is right. Not true. It has to be in accordance to the truth. That we read in Ephesians 4, 20-21, the truth that is in Jesus. Right? As we read in Nike, then we begin to realize what that truth really, really is. Whatever is right in his own eyes. Okay? So this is where you need to look at. The place where the Lord chooses to make his name abide. In time to come, it will be Jerusalem. At this point of time, it was hidden. It was not revealed. It was not known. First Shiloh, subsequently Jerusalem. And this was something. Take heed. Verse 13. Okay? You do not offer burnt offerings in every place that you see. Only in the place which the Lord chooses. Now, this is now repeated three times. The place the Lord chooses. Not as you choose. Oh, I like this green tree. Wow, it reminds me of God. Let's worship here. No. Oh, I like this mountain. Mountain, very good. No. That's not how it works. But that is how people prefer. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. Now, let's take a look at 2 Kings. Right? So look, we're going to see how this applies in time to come. 2 Kings 17 is a critical chapter to read. You need to understand this. This is the period of the last king called Hoshea. Hosea, same. It's a matter of where you dot the I. Right? You dot one side is Hosea. You dot the other side is Hosea. Same. Comes out the same. Right? So you take a look at these things here. Now, what happened? Right? And this is important for us to understand. 2 Kings 17, and then we read. For it was, well, Israel was carried away to Assyria, verse 6. Right? And then we read. For it was, the reasons why. It was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, brought them out of the land of Egypt. They feared other gods. That what the Lord, do not fear these gods. Forgotten. They walked in the statutes of the nations whom the Lord had cast out. Do not have anything to do with them. Nope, didn't remember. Verse 9. The children of Israel secretly did against the Lord their God things that were not right. Right? And they built for themselves high places in all their cities, watchtower to fortified city. How you do this secretly? I have no idea. This is the wisdom of Hagar. Let's do this secretly. How? Right? So this is something that you... So they set for themselves sacred pillars. Right? So this is Deuteronomy chapter 12. Sacred pillars, wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. Almost word for word. Almost phrase for phrase. Deuteronomy 12, 2 Kings 17. Look at this. High places like the nations whom the Lord had carried away before them. They did wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. They served idols, of which the Lord said, you shall not do these things. Right? No graven image. Only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I'm going to add one more. How about on the left, on the right, in the front, in the back? North, south, east, west. And all kinds of crazy additions were just added. What is wrong? All right, the Lord testified against Israel, against Judah, by all his prophets, every seer, saying, turn away from your evil ways, keep my commandments and my statute. There we go. Same thing. Commandments and statute, they would not listen. Verse 14, nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks, like the necks of their fathers, who did not believe. There we go. There is your unbelief. They did not believe in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers. Remember Deuteronomy 5, a second covenant. Okay, let's do it. First one, Exodus 24. Okay, this one, this covenant is made with you all. Nope, they rejected everything. Okay, against them. They followed idols, became idolaters, went after the nations with concerning whom the Lord had charged them, they should not do like them. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molded image and two calves. Aaron only made one. We got two. The more the merrier. Have one plus, get one free. Why? Wonder whether there were Chinese people there. A big multitude. You want to have all these things for, right? And they worship all the hosts of heaven and serve Baal. Can you see all these things that were there? And they caused all the sons and the daughters to pass through the fire. Same, Okoyong, in the days of Mary Slessor. A trial by hot burning oil. Right? So burning is so hot, not only bubbling, fire on the oil. And they told the people, if you are innocent, the oil won't hurt you. You want to try it out? Often, Mary Slessor had to stand in between the hot oil and the victim. Okay, you pass through me. That was Mary Slessor's thing here. Her ministry, nobody can repeat. If the king won't listen, the chieftain won't listen, she will box their ears. Why are you deaf? That is Ma Slessor. Whoa. They call her the great mother. Nobody dares to offend her. They're coming with weapons and all that. She will snatch them up from their hands. How dare you? They come to her compound, to her church, and make noise. You throw them out. Small figure that she was. She came with a Victorian dress, Queen Victoria's time, in the 1800s. What do I do with this dress? She only wore a petticoat, that's it. In the old days, petticoat is like a full dress today. Because today, all the shorts, you won't do anything. That was how she was dressed. Nobody had better say anything against her. Whoa. And she was in her 20s, in her 30s, and she, in 2 years, established herself. They call her the Great Mother. Well, that was serious stuff. See, you know, you almost need somebody like that. Unfortunately, Moses was not around all the time to attend all these things. That's why they did it secretly. Okay? Just in case the prophet around would just be the extension of the house. Not extension! It's for worship. No way, no worship. Act innocent, act blur. But they were doing that. Sometimes they make secret alcoves inside the house. And that's what they do. And so this was a very, very serious, okay? And they made their sons and daughters pass through the fire. This is not fire walking. Okay? Because nobody survives those fires. You want victory over the enemy? You want to have a great crop, great harvest? Give your daughter. Give your son. They sacrifice their own daughters and their own sons for things that never happened. And that was how Israel, they were no better than the Canaanites. In fact, they were worse than. Now, that, you see the importance of the statutes and the commandments and the judgments which were there? The parents failed. The priests and all the other leaders, they failed. They didn't know. They didn't take the trouble. That was what happened. Okay, whatever is right in your own eyes. Right? And that is something that was dangerous. So the Lord was very angry with Israel, removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. That is what happened. And Judah did not keep, also Judah did not keep the commandments of the Lord their God, walk in the statutes of Israel which they made. So if you are going to come to family camp, read Isaiah, read this passage too. 2 Kings, Deuteronomy, they're all there. You see, when people don't know the Word of God. See, oh, never mind, I just believe God. I just believe in Jesus. That's enough. You are setting yourself up for trouble. Take the time. Take the trouble. That's important. If only we would. Right? Now, this is something that, you know, we really, really wish we can look into. Verse 22, right? The children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he did, and they did not depart from them. So can you imagine, from the days of Moses, nobody took the time and the trouble to read the Lord's word, to understand it. And you know what? Today it's the same problem. This family camp, I'm going to add some one extra item in. During the Q&A, we will not spend 2 hours there. We will devote part of the time for prayer. Pray for our families. Pray for our children. Pray for our grandchildren. We must set aside time to pray. So this is going to be a new feature that we're going to try and see if we can add in. You know, I look at this, that I talk to children, I talk about the problems in their lives, and I am just horrified. Parents are not doing their part in bringing up their children properly. You go to Sunday school, right? Good. Now we've got more pastors coming up. Good. Then we do less work. Why? They are important, but so are parents. Deuteronomy 6 tells us the parents must not fail to do their part. When we fail to do our part, we fail our children big time. It all added. Right? Why are children not interested or impressed about going to church? They don't have any example in their parents to follow after. That's what happens, unfortunately. Right? I mean, I really, really hope that we will take this seriously. That's why the Lord said, take them, cut them down. You see, he said, well, that's nothing. Usually, it is nothing. Right? So some people go out there and buy the one with a big fat stomach. And then it's nothing, it's just a piece, it's just ornament. Then Chinese New Year come. Some people say, you know, if you rub the stomach, and then no harm, right? Rub the. Then after one rub, hey, something good, maybe you rub also 2 hands. And bit by bit, it comes right in. Now you put a bit of flowers there. Now, right? Since you've got so many flowers, right? Just put there, just. And not really worshiping, just some flowers. You know. I'm not. You know. Decorate some lights. And before you know it, there is a shrine. Hey, don't touch. That's how it works. That's how it starts, and that's how it extends, and then is entrenched. And that's how it works. And it can, not just other things, it could be pictures of Jesus. I'm glad they don't sell pictures of Jesus nowadays very much. I used to get phone calls from people, Pastor, I got an old picture of Jesus. You want or not? I don't want! But Pastor, how? I cannot throw away, right? So, can I give to you? Why would I want your own picture of Jesus for? The frame is broken. The glass is not there. It's old and it faded. Obviously, it's been neglected. But, you see, pass it to the pastor. Easier. His worry, not mine. I don't accept things like that. I say, your problem. So what happens if? Your problem, right? I'm not going to give you any answers. See Moses. And it's really, really, really unfortunate. Same. Some people, old Bibles. Pastor, I got 6 Bibles, you know. Oh, very old. What shall I do with them? Why you want the 6 in the first place? But some of them not read. No. Hey, open up, silverfish inside, a whole, holy Bible. Why? It really gives a new meaning to the word Holy Bible. You know, we end up with the Bible as a fetish. We end up with the Bible as a holy relic, and so on and so forth. And people dare not to, just in case. We miss the point. We were meant to read. We were meant to understand. We were meant to hide them in our hearts. We were meant to apply them. And if we don't, we miss the point. I think that is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. Okay? And so the first commandment was there. Go back to the first commandment. That's the best thing. Hear, O Israel. I like to do that myself, actually. So in the morning when I begin my walk, see how many steps I've taken already. Hey, hello. I'm 16,306. I'm back to normal already. Right? First thing in the morning, I like to do this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Then memorize. Until it becomes a part of you. Right? So, don't leave home without having walked 2,000-3,000 steps. That's what I do each morning. Until it becomes a part of you. This is my practice. Okay? Now, this is not a law. This is 11 commandments. Thou shalt walk 10,000 steps. No. My 10,000 step is when I'm not well. If I'm unwell, like I was unwell last week, I barely covered 10,000 steps. But if I'm well, or at least I think I'm well, I need to ask myself how much, and it says 16,000. Well, yesterday was 16,000 too. Let's do it. I mean, seriously. So it becomes a symbolic, definite thing I want to do. Right? This is the book of Genesis chapter 5, right? And Enoch walked with God. After Enoch begot Methuselah, he began to walk with God. For 365 years, he walked with God. And he was not, because God took him. What a tremendous idea of walking with God. If only we would try. See, many people look at Deuteronomy and look at it, wow. Okay? So you take a look at these things here. And I mean, the great challenge is there. You really learn to love the Lord. The Lord your God. I mean, it would be wonderful. Sometimes, there are some days I feel very much like Moses, you know. Why don't you ask a student pastor to explain Deuteronomy, to explain Isaiah, to explain Jeremiah? Go ahead. And he begins to realize. Go ahead, ask the parents. Also cannot. So I end up with a long 200 email waiting to be answered. How to answer? You ever pray for a crash in your computer? Those are the days when you feel unwell and you just pray for a crash. But no good. Because when it's well again, 300, worse, wrong prayers to make. Lord, give me strength. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Take a deep breath, walk. But this is a commitment we must make. We have to learn to walk with the Lord God. Right? So you say, well, I don't know how to walk. My health is no good. Walk. Memorize the Lord's word. That's what I do. And it can be wonderful. It really can be. Try. Okay? Try. If you're going to walk 16,000 steps, it's boring like anything. Really. What with the Lord and you walk with the Lord. It's not. It's exciting. It really is alive. The walk with God becomes real and precious. Try. I mean, seriously, give it a shot. Right? And if there are days when you just feel down or lousy, try Hagar. And you begin to realize, wow, that kind of nonsensical dictum is no good. I better go back to the Lord's way. You appreciate it in a fresh way. Wow, this is so refreshing. That one is Viking. That's why they're called Vikings. Barbarians. Right? Think about this thing here. Well, these are things that we really, really need to look at very, very carefully. Well, I really hope that you will think about these things and, you know, be greatly challenged. Laws, Ten Commandments, know them. Statutes, judgments, they're not unimportant. This area going in was not heeded. Hundreds of years later, the whole nation was gone, exactly as Moses warned, Book of Deuteronomy. It was fulfilled to the letter. Read Deuteronomy 4, and you will be scattered. But if there you will turn to the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with a whole heart. Also fulfilled, Isaiah. You see? So Deuteronomy, Isaiah, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles, they are all related. It's going to happen. Now look at the church today. So few people really know the scriptures. We look at Deuteronomy, our eyes close. Don't really try, that you will be surprised how enriching the reading and the study of the Lord's word really is. Give it a shot. Okay? Sign up for camp. Let's learn how to read Isaiah. Not an easy thing. Let's not try. Let's not fail to try. Okay? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to read your word, to understand the significance of your word. And we read to our horror of how real and how Israel was totally destroyed because they failed to heed your word. We pray that you will grant to us your grace and your wisdom to read your word with love, with understanding, and a desire to hide your word in our hearts. We pray that you will give to us that love for your word so that we can say, like the psalmist, your commandments which we love. We pray that there will be a love for you, for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Next week will be, if you want to go to Myanmar, you're very welcome. Otherwise, we'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Okay, thank you, and have a wonderful week ahead.